Beginning with the first verse, the Bibles that you have is there on the pew. If you got it on your phone, Android, iPhone, whatever, I have to go through all that, folks, just to let you know. I want you to make sure you get connected with the Word of God. There's different ways that you can get connected with the Word of God. I've been doing a series called To the Ends of the Earth. To the Ends of the Earth. And this is sermon number 5, and if you've missed any of them, you can go on the website, www.vfclexington.org, go into media area, and you can click on that and see that as well. We want to thank those for watching today, my prayer, live today. We're live right now on Facebook. We're live every Sunday, and for those that are not able to come, and there's some today that's not able to come, and so we just want to pray for them that the Lord will continue to touch their body. But we want to welcome them, those that are on live now. And did you know we go live around the world? Did you know that? That's how much people see us all around the world. Your church is getting recognized even around the world when people click on. And so we thank God for that, that somehow, some way, we can get the gospel, get the good news out to people that are needing the Word of God and needing to be encouraged. Let's look at this. To the Ends of the Earth, series sermon number 5, the title is, Who Will Bring Them to Jesus? Who will bring them to Jesus? That's a question today that I want to leave with you. Who will bring them to Jesus? Will you bring someone to Jesus? Will you share the good news with those that you come in contact? I want us to look here a little bit, as time will permit, who will bring them to Jesus. Mark, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse here, and the story goes, and again, he entered in Capernaum. After some days, this is Jesus, and it was heard that he was in the house. Look at this very closely. He was in the house. And immediately many gathered together, and so that there was no longer room to receive them. This is Jesus is in the house, not even near the door, for the door was packed. Nobody could get in to the house, and he preached the word to them, Jesus did, and then they came to him bringing a person here, a paralytic who cared, that had a palsy, that had a body ailment going on, who was carried by 4 men. Now I want you to look at this with me. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof, the top of the roof, where he was. And so when they had broken through the roof, they let him down in the bed of this paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, verse 8, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had reasoned thus with themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? Verse 10, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he arose, took up his bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Can I hear an amen in God's house today? I want you to know today about this story. Our miracle working Savior, the lamb walk, the blind see, the dead live again, even the wind and the waves obey him, and a miracle begin to take place. dramatically, authority. It has just taken place. Power and responsibility has taken place. The authority of Jesus to forgive sins has taken place. The power of Jesus to heal has taken place. And the responsibility of the believers to bring others to Jesus. I want you to know today that there are ingredients into this miracle that we're looking at today. There are ingredients to this miracle that we're looking at today. My first point today is this. There were four burdened men. Four burdened men. These men saw that this man could not walk. And they were burdened for him. As we see this clearly, many things we don't know about these four men. We don't know their names. We don't know their ages. We don't even know the positions in life. But yet the duration of their faith in Christ stood the test of times because they knew and heard that Jesus was in the house. I don't know about you today, but when Jesus is in the house, nothing else matters. There's nothing else that matters when Jesus is in the house. Not just only Jesus heals, but he saves and he delivers us day in and day out, just as Jesus was in this house. What we do know about them is this. They were concerned about a sick friend. And he had been sick for a long period of time. And yet these four friends, they believed that Christ would meet his need. In other words, I'm sure he went everywhere else or tried to go everywhere else, but when they heard that Jesus was in the house, they knew if they could just get this man to Jesus that he would be healed. Listen, they believed that Christ would meet his need. They were burdened enough to go the great length to pick this man up and to carry this man to the house. And when they got to the house, they thought they were going to be able to walk through the door, but they saw that the door was blocked. They saw that the crowd was full in the house. And the only thing that they could do, they could have turned right around and took him back to his house. But they said, wait a minute, folks. They said, wait a minute, fellas, let's look here. We're going to get on top of the house. Now, can you imagine somebody getting on the top of that? That's pretty persistent to get on top of a roof and not let this man leave this place, but get this man in the house. I want you to know today, Jesus wants us to get into the house. Why? Because Jesus is the one that will restore. He will be the one that will heal. He'll be the one that will carry you. He'll be the one that will restore you and take care of you. But we must be in the house. Listen, I want you to look at this. When people do not go, people die within their sins. Today, most are going is left up to the pastors. Not so in the early church, because it's not left up to the pastors. But it's about all of us coming together, getting into the house as we see this in Acts 8 and 4. The Bible says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word of God. All believers are to be ministers of the cross. All believers are to be witnesses. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for them to do all the work. But it's called for us all to be witnesses for others and to let others know about Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:11 says this, and he himself, the Apostle Paul, writes, give some to the apostles, some to the prophets, some to evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. I want you to know today that God has not called just one individual. God has not just brought to one individual. He has called all of us in the body of Christ to work together. He has called the apostles. He's called the evangelists. He's called pastors. He's called teachers. And He's called every one of us to be witnesses to the very ends of this earth. The Bible says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These men were working for the Lord and wanted to see this man healed. But let me go a step further. Jesus not only wanted to see this man and see the man be healed, but Jesus wanted to see the man get saved. And you notice that He saved him and begin to touch on him because of his faith. So your faith be unto you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's never for you and I to see with a natural eye. The world wants to see with a natural eye because that's all they know. But we, as the body of Christ, we have accepted Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit resides in us. And now we look through spiritual eyes and we see with the spiritual eyes what Jesus can do than what the world can't do. The world didn't give it to you. The world can't take it away from you, because what God restores, what God gives, is that He wants you to have His divine nature, so the character of the Lord Jesus Christ will live out in your life. Listen, my second point today is this. There was a broken roof. Not only were there four burdened men, but there was a broken roof. As we see this in Mark 2 and 4, and when they could not have come near to him because of the crowd, they decided, let's get to the roof. Because if we can get to the roof, we can cut our way to see Jesus. If we could get to the roof, we could begin to break the roof so that we can get him down to see Jesus. So when they had broken it through, they let down the man on which the paralytic was lying, approached to the house with their friend in his bed, and yet the house was too crowded to get into. I want you to know today that we need to break through whatever's holding us back. We need to break through and get a hold of Jesus. We need to lay aside all of the weight. We need to lay all the side of the things of this world, to lay down the flesh, to crucify the flesh, and let the Holy Spirit be resurrected in our hearts and lives, that we would lay down all the things that brings us down, but we are to call to Jesus and call upon Him and let Him be God in our lives. Listen, how many of us would go the great lengths to see our friends get saved? How would it be that we would go to great lengths, that we would break through everything to see someone get saved? Listen, I believe that a fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I believe in the power of prayer. And when two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst. I want you to know you can break the walls. You can break the chains. You can cause deliverance to come about. You can see people get saved. They can get healed. They can be moved by God when the power of prayer comes together, when believers come together and they unite themselves together in the bond of love. That's when you begin to see the walls come tumbling down. That's when you begin to see chains that are broken. That's when you can begin to see those on the rooftop begin to come down, because they're breaking through and letting God have their way in their life. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. There is a song that Brandon Lakes, a contemporary Christian artist, has wrote. And he writes and he sings, he says, tear off the roof, the king's in the house. Just get me to Jesus. I don't care how. I don't have to wait to get that healing. I got faith without a ceiling. So tear off that roof, he writes, because the king's in the house. There's power in the presence. There's power in the blood. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the presence. There's power in the blood. There's power in the name of Jesus. He says there is life changing, grave shaking, dead raising, power in the room, heart healing, hell stealing, no ceiling power. So tear off the roof. Life changing, grave shaking, dead raising, power in the room, hearts healing, hell stealing, no ceiling power. So tear off that roof. Folks, we need to tear off the roof within our lives of oppression, of old depression, of addiction, of things that's causing us to separate us from our Lord and Savior. We need to tear off. We need to break into the presence of God. We need to know God. We need to know Him and make Him known. And anything that's causing us not to get near God, tear it off, break it off, let it come loose in the name of Jesus, and let Jesus come in and save you, sanctify you, fill you with the Holy Ghost, and allow you to have power on high. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tear off that roof. The king is in the house. Listen, I want you to know there are always obstacles in bringing people to Christ. We can overcome the obstacles. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8:35, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Paul asked that question. He says, "As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted sheep for the slaughter." Verse 37, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who love us. For I am persuaded," the Apostle Paul writes, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Give God praise in the house today. There's no separation when we're in Christ Jesus. When we're in Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul gives a vivid description and doesn't leave anything out. He says, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Why? Because God is love. He is love. And He loves us unconditionally. And He wants us to continue to trust Him. He's wanting us to tear the roof off of the things that so weight easily besets us and let us run a race like we've never ran before, that we haven't reached the goal yet or the prize. But He says, run that race until you obtain it. And when you obtain it, then you will receive the prize. Listen, the four men looked up and they found a solution. The four men looked up and found a solution. Some looked around, said, "We're not going to get in that house. That door's blocked. That thing is packed. There's no room." And I'm sure they began to debate and talk about it, and they said, "Well, there's one solution. And that is, let's get to the top of the roof and tear this roof off this house to get this man, and we're going to hoist this man down and we're going to let him see Jesus." Nothing stopped them from getting this man to Jesus. There's nothing that can stop us. Only we can stop ourselves. But when we get in Jesus, as Jesus gets in us, there's nothing that can stop us or the mighty moving of God. There's not enough devils in hell that can stop the mighty moving of God. When my God gets involved, He begins to be what He said He would be to you and I. Listen. There are a few solutions that come when we are down or looking down. The roof provides a route to get their friend to Jesus. This would be a costly thing, but they didn't care. The roof must be broken up. It doesn't matter what it was going to cost. They were willing to do whatever it took to get this man to Jesus Christ. That's the same way that you and I must be. It must be a driven force that we're to get people to Jesus Christ, that we're to pray for people at Jesus Christ. If we've got to pick them up and bring them to church, if we've got to call them and pray for them, if we've got to say a word of good things to them, then we need to do whatever it takes to reach our family and reach our loved ones. Whatever the cost, we must get people to Christ. Third, in my closing today, there was an empty bed. The bed was full when the man came to Jesus. The bed was full. The bed represents sin. It represents all of that he could not do within himself. He had done everything he could possibly do to try to make himself walk. But the empty bed represented sin. He was going in the point that he knew not that what Jesus was going to do. But these four men believed God and believed if they could get this man to Jesus that everything would be made whole. And it was true that it was made whole, because when they lowered him down, Jesus looked up and saw a man coming down and said, "By your faith in getting to me, you are healed and you are saved forevermore." What did Jesus say? He says, "Take up your bed," that empty bed, "and let everybody know what God has done." That's what God wants to do. He wants to take the sin. He wants to take the pain. He wants to take the things of this world away from us. And it's Him that can do it, so that we can be emptied and spilled out before the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can be willing vessels to be used of God. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly lets us know when Jesus saw their faith. Hallelujah. God clearly let this man know, "Your faith has made you well." Luke 4:18 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Talking about Jesus. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of their sight of blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." You see, Jesus has come. Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house. We need to acknowledge when Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house. Four had faith when they left. Five had faith when they returned. Hear me today. Four left with faith, but five came back with faith. Why? Because the man that was healed, his faith was renewed, Brother Loveling, and therefore he continued to share it with others. "Son, thy sins be forgiven to thee," is what Jesus said. Mark 2:5, when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven to you, in you." First things first, forgiveness has priority with God. God wants to make sure someone is saved and knows Him in a personal way, and then God wants to heal. Sometimes people want healing, but they don't want to be saved. Now let me say it again. A lot of people want to be healed. Oh, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I need healing of this and healing of that. But when it comes to salvation, people don't want to be saved. Folks, I want you to know if God's going to heal me and deliver me, then I want to be saved. Because it may be my last day. It may be my last time. This may be my last service. This may be the last sermon that I preach today. This may be the last Sunday that you step your foot in this church. I've said it and I will say it again. I have preached on Sunday and I've got a phone call on Monday. And the phone call would be, Pastor, my son passed away. Pastor, my husband passed away. Pastor, my wife passed away. Pastor, my daughter passed away. Yes, I've gotten those kind of phone calls. That's why we need to make sure that we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that we've accepted Him as Lord and Savior in our life, that we to say, Lord, I repent of my sins, come into my heart and life and save me. And if we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, He arose on the third day, seated with the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. It is written that you may know that you have eternal life. And it's very important that we have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because we don't know when our number will be up. Listen, first things first, forgiveness has priority with God. Yet the reaction of the scribes, they begin to murmur, they begin to complain, and they begin to say blasphemous things, saying, that's blasphemy what you're saying. You're not God. You're not this. You're not that. And yet Jesus showed them who He was by what He did and by who He was. Listen, the authority of Jesus is to forgive all sins. He said, Jesus said, take, arise, take up your bed and walk. And he went back to his house. Take up thy bed. Go thy way into thine own house. Listen, rejoicing over the conversation and healing of the lame man. First, when he gave his life to Jesus and when Jesus healed him, first heaven rejoiced. Second, then man rejoiced. Third, the four who brought him rejoiced also. And the question today is this: who waits for you to come and bring them to Jesus? Who waits for you to come and bring them to Jesus? Are you talking with somebody about Jesus? Are you sharing somebody about Jesus? You see, we need to be talking to Jesus. We need to be communicating with Jesus. And not only should we be communicating with Jesus, we need to communicate with those that we come in contact about Jesus. Stand with me across the building today. Listen, God loves us. He doesn't want us to perish, but He wants us to have everlasting life. And listen, I want you to know today, yes, He is a healer, but He's also a Savior.